Welcome to the Scent in 10 podcast. I'm guest host Darren Clark, and I'm on a mission to spread more awareness. We'll be chatting to educational specialists to bring you inspirational stories and to discuss all things scent. You can find us on Facebook at Scent in 10, where you can find out more about what we discuss and all our up and coming episodes.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Could you just tell us your name, background, and what organisation you're from?
Yes, my name's Emma Dibden. I'm from GL Assessment, and I am the Assessment Specialist for Send and Wellbeing. And before joining GL, I was over 20 years in school, primary background, but more recently a SENCO and Inclusion Lead, both in the UK and overseas. I lived in Dubai for nearly 10 years and was an Inclusion Lead there across a couple of schools. So although I'm working with GL now, still very much connected to those roots of SEND.
What was teaching like?
In many ways, very similar to the UK. In many ways, very different. You know, obviously the requirements from an inspectorate standpoint are different. But in the time that I was in the UAE, there was a really exciting period of change from around 2015-16. Inclusion became a really driving initiative for the nation. And it was all about improving inclusivity across the society. And that sort of starts, doesn't it, within education, starts within the home. So there was lots of new kind of legislation, lots of new guidance. And it was really exciting to be part of that journey and actually in school and see how that evolved people's thinking and how that drove things forward for young people and their families.
Very exciting time and very, very well needed. What do you feel inclusion is?
If you get inclusion right, you're getting it right for the learners who are SEND. You're getting it right for learners in vulnerable groups. You're getting it right for everybody, aren't you? So for me, you know, inclusion is central. But one of the biggest challenges, I think, if I just hark back to my time in the UAE, is about making sure that all stakeholders are engaged in that and have a shared kind of ethos and value for inclusion. And you've got to bring people on a journey, and there are different perceptions towards what inclusion means and what the values of inclusion are. It's not something you can drive, you know, as a single-handed mission. You've got to bring everybody with you. So I do believe it's central, but it's central and it's connected. It's a collegiate and collaborative approach.
It's understanding, you know, the long-term vision and being able to share that. What kind of barriers did you find where, you know, formulating inclusion?
The experience, because I did come back and I did some of this in the UK as well, so that the barriers are quite different and distinct in many ways in both situations. But just kind of focusing on that kind of aspect in the UAE at that time, some of the barriers were about people's understanding and were about what does that mean for my child? What does it mean if we, you know, continue to be increasingly inclusive, and that means that we're opening a school environment to a wide range of learners with different needs across a different profile, breadth and depth of need? You know, what are the implications for my child within that? And that's absolutely understandable. You have to be empathetic that when change happens, you know, it can have implications for other people. So some of the barriers were about, just as I said before, kind of making sure that people felt secure and were involved in that evolution. And it was a kind of a turning of the ship. It's not an overnight thing. It has to be done with everybody, not to everybody. And, you know, and some of the other barriers is, you know, some people want that rate of change and they want to see it happen tomorrow. And I get that passion and I get that need. But, you know, you really have got to be thinking about the resourcing requirements. You've got to do things right by everybody. And that doesn't necessarily mean you can do right by everybody. So it's about investing skills, investing time, and investing energy, I think.
And rightly so. What are you into supporting people with?
It was almost an accidental, if I'm honest. And it goes back to the UAE again. Sorry to bang that drum.
No.
You know, we went there as a family and I wanted to be working part-time. And I applied for a role that was part-time within a learning support department. I had been inching towards SEND, away from kind of my mainstream classroom-based role. When I was in the UK, I was ye olde reading recovery teacher back when the funding was there for that. So I'd already kind of shifted into being an interventionist, but I'd become more interested in the why, not just the kind of response to, but why am I kind of, you know, working with these learners? What are the needs that we're trying to meet? And more closely matching that understanding. So that kind of opportunity to move into a role at SEND when the doors opened. I grasped it. And so it was a little bit by default. Personal reasons as well. A young son of my own who was experiencing some challenges, and kind of we were identifying what that might mean for him. So yeah, I mean, it was more by accident than by design, but turn the clock back, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely. What do you enjoy most about it? That's a big question.
That's a massive question. Where to begin? I think I'll probably share an experience, and I do hope, I won't name anybody, but yesterday I was speaking where we are, TSN show, about something that a colleague of mine had designed to try and support colleagues. And one of the things was watching the faces in the room for people who are kind of being able to connect with and seeing the value in some of the resources that we have. But then suddenly in the back sat down a very familiar face, and I smiled big. And thankfully that person came and visited me afterwards on our stand. And it's a parent of a student that I worked with, again, back in the UAE, 10, 12 years ago now, and her young child was then year three and is now in sixth form. And I learned about resilience, and I learned about empathy and how he has those in spades. And, you know, she was very flattering and shared how she felt that I'd had impact. But it's about those relationships, you know, and the fact that she'd sought me out, knowing that, you know, saw my name and knowing that I'm here. It's all about relationships, the relationships you have with the families and the relationships you have with the impact with learners.
It's incredible, you know, as you mentioned it so rightly so, it is building that relationship. It's almost like you mentioned at the very start of our conversation, you know, getting people on board and educating them, you know, for the long journey ahead. And that's the individual journeys you have with an individual. Like with everything, you have to build up rapport, you have to build up the relationship, you have to build up that trust. And that's something that it seems like you've done abundance in.
I've certainly tried, and that's a word that, you know, even now I'm at GL Assessment. Trust is something that, for me, has to be part of the way that we engage with colleagues who are using our resources. You know, we want to feel that they can trust us as a partner to provide, you know, assessments that are going to help them to accurately identify and support needs. And in building that trust, we then go on a journey with them as they support the young people in their care and the family. So, you know, I'm never too far away from that word, and just sort of being authentic. You know, those are really, you know, really important things for me. I'd always like to say there could be more. I don't know that there's necessarily not enough. Whether we're tapping the right resources to the right people at the right time. You know, a lot of parents work really hard, like the person I spoke to yesterday, in terms of educating themselves and trying to find the information they need in order to be able to access resources. But not everybody's got necessarily the time and the energy to do that, you know, and that's not a suggestion that those parents are any less, you know, interested, but we should be more proactive. We should be helping people to connect the information and the support that's available. So I don't necessarily think it's always about more, but it's about making sure that what's there is being utilized and people know what's, you know, within their reach to support the young people in their lives.
Absolutely. And I think it is that understanding, isn't it? It's that education around what is there and how we can get a diagnosis for it. When I was diagnosed with dyslexia, it was almost time. It was almost like that was the diagnosis and that was it. It was almost, I had to go on a journey to try and understand what that looked like and how that affected me, all the different things. So I think it's just trying to understand how, you know, what resources.
Absolutely. It's the so what, isn't it? The diagnosis, the identification of, or the label. I know a lot of people like to use that terminology, you know, that we define your set of strengths and challenges to, is only the tip of the iceberg. Then it's about, well, what does that mean for me as a youngster? And I don't know when that was identified for you, but I have my own personal experiences with my son, and he's been on that journey, and it's empowerment then. It's making sure I have the knowledge to know where that's going to take me in life. When am I going to face those obstacles, and how might I be ready to address those with strategies that will allow me to be independent? And that starts with the very youngest of learners, you know, and we don't necessarily have to label the need. We have to know what it is and start supporting them and giving them the strategies to access learning and be successful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much indeed for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for everything.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on CERN in 10. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can catch all of our episodes at www.cernin10.co.uk. You can also find us across social media at SendIn10. Be sure to give us a follow to keep up with the latest news. And thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next time.